Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray this evening in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And Holy Father God, I do praise you and I do thank you tonight for your goodness, your love, your mercy, and your grace. And I also praise you and thank you, Lord, for your chastisement. Yes, Lord, your painful chastisement. And I thank you, Lord, for dealing with your people because you love us, as you have stated in the Old Testament and as your Holy Son, Jesus Christ, has stated in the New Testament. And Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word, and for all of the millions and manifold blessings that you have indeed bestowed upon us. We acknowledge that we are weak and feeble, and we know that you're strong and mighty. And Holy Father God, I do pray that you would continue to have mercy upon our souls, and for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins, our faults, and our failures, as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. Crush and crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us. And fill us, Lord, afresh and anew with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty, Lord, of your Holy Spirit. Demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, as I speak tonight, for according to your holy word, it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And so, Lord, glorify your holy name through the power, the unction, and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Nothing worthwhile will happen here tonight without the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we pray that you would cast out the spirit of the devil, cast out the spirit of the demons of hell, the satanic, demonic spirits of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, and Tobias that are still in the world and even working on people in your church and in our families and trying to wreak havoc in your word going forth, in your ministry going forth. And Lord, help everyone to realize that these are attacks against you, because we as Christians, we're supposed to be dead and used by you. So it's not against us, we're dead. It is against you, who is very much alive. And so, Holy Father God, help the devilish people who try to hinder your work, the devilish people who are not joyful and happy about your work, in our families, in our ministries, and in our churches. Lord God in heaven, we pray that you would cast the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic, demonic spirit of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, and Tobias. Cast out the demonic spirit of betrayal and obstruction and sabotage and treachery, the sins and the flesh and the demonic spirits of pride, stubbornness, and rebelliousness, hindrance and distraction out of their hearts and minds, souls, and spirits here and every place else. And Lord, we pray that, Lord, you would have mercy and grace upon their souls And Lord, I pray that you would save their souls, open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears, and save their souls and change their lives. And Holy Father God, I pray tonight that you would rebuke and bind the devil and the demons of hell, and from each person here, from this ministry and work, and all other ministries and works that are going on in your name, and Lord, around the world. And Lord, we thank you for the saints who are remaining faithful. We thank you, Lord, for your remnant. We thank you, Lord, for your 7,000 that you have preserved, who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Lord, may their tribe increase, and Holy Father God, we pray that you would give all of us, wherever we are in the world, Lord, sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. And Lord, we pray that lost souls would be saved, Christians would be revived. We pray, Lord, for the salvation of the lost all around the world, the revival of the saved all around the world, the healing of the sick, Lord, and if they're your children, help them to call for the elders of the church for prayer and help them to confess their sins and repent and make sure they're not living in sin while taking communion, as, Lord, we will be taking communion here, Lord, here this Sunday, if you should tarry your coming and if you would allow us to live. And so, Holy Father God, we pray that you would comfort those who are grieving and mourning, as only you can. And Lord, all we can do is pray for them. And Lord, as you know, that's not a cop-out. This is such a bad plague that ministers can't even go and minister. Pastors can't even go and do funerals in a proper way. Pastors can't even go and visit hospitals or homes. If they're wise, they won't do that because it's going to make matters worse. So, Holy Father God, open the blinded eyes and unstop the deaf ears of the lost and those who claim to be saved in the church. And Lord, help us to humble ourselves. Grant us your grace, your strength, and the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to humble ourselves and help us to pray. Help us to seek your face and help us to turn from our wicked ways and help us to repent and get back to you, our first love. Lord, I hope that there are people who can remember the days when they first met you. What a honeymoon that was, and how excited we were to serve you. And we served you from our hearts because we loved you back, because we found out you loved us first. And Lord, we were on fire. No one had to tell us to go to church in those days. No one had to tell us to pray and read our Bibles. No one had to tell us to expect your second coming. No one had to tell us to witness. We witnessed to everything that moved in those first days of the honeymoon of our salvation experience. So Lord, help us to get back to our first love, where our motivations are pure and driven by our love for you, because we know that you first loved us. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we do right by you, if we do what you have told us to do, we do pray, Lord, tonight that you would deliver each and every one of us from our tribulations and our troubles and trials and temptations and tests and even tensions. And Holy Father God, I pray tonight that not only during this briefing service, Lord, but even in the afterglow service, help us to be prayerful, sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful, and to keep our hearts and minds stayed on you. Keep us, Lord, therefore, in perfect peace. And Holy Father God, we pray that you would bless and protect all of our families that stand for Christ in your holy word, all of our ministries and all of our churches, Lord, that stand for you still in these last days and your holy word. Lord, we pray that you'll protect us from ourselves. Protect us, Lord, from our flesh. Protect us, Lord, from the devil. Protect us, Lord, from the demons of hell. Protect us, Lord, from evil people in our families. Protect us, Lord, from evil people in our churches. Protect us, Lord, from evil people in the world. Place, Lord, upon us the whole armor of God, and surround us with the band of your holy angels and a wall of your holy fire. Cover us and cleanse us through the blood of Christ, and make us to be whiter than snow on the inside. We cast all care upon you, for Lord, we know that you care for us. Lord, grant me your energy and your strength, your unction and your anointing, your freedom, your liberty, and the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, to preach your holy gospel even tonight, and to preach your holy word, and to share information that will help people get through the most difficult time of their lives. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, welcome to the How to Stay and Survive the Coronavirus Plague Briefing Podcast, live recording number 139. My name is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International, and as always, for all 139 of these services, of these briefings rather, the watchword is repent. That is the problem. Repent. God wants us to repent. That's the problem that we have in the church. People who, some who can pray well, some who can confess well, but many of us do not repent well. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to turn around and turn from our wicked ways. Turn in your Bibles now to Deuteronomy chapter 29, verses 22 and 23. The Bible reads, "So that the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you shall come from a far land, shall say, when they see the plagues of that land and the sicknesses which the Lord hath laid upon it, and that the whole land thereof is brimstoning, that it is not sown, nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in his anger." You must understand that God is a very real being, and he does get angry at our sin. I believe that God is angry with us right now, with the church in America primarily and first of all, and then what that has brought to pass in America, because as we have said many times in the past, the church is supposed to be the conscience of America, and we have lost our savor We're supposed to be the salt of America, and we don't have the power that salt is supposed to have because of our own sins against God, gross sins against God, continual sins against God, secret sins against God that we thought were secret, but they're wide open in the church today for the whole world to see. If you think the world respects the church, today as they used to, I don't know who you're talking to. I don't know where you're getting that from, but that's not the case. And it's such a bad situation that we don't even in the church expect the world to respect us. It just came out today that in some European country, I can't remember which country, it is, they're finding that the Catholic Church has molested over 10,000 children. What country is that? What country is that? Was that Germany? Whatever the country is, over in Europe, they're finding, it was reported today that they're finding out that the church, the Catholic Church, molested over 10,000 children. That's on the Catholic side. On the Protestant side, similar things have happened in the church, and people have not confessed their sins. People have not repented of their sins. We have today pastors and deacons and trustees committing the abomination of homosexuality and supporting it in the church. God forbid. We have pastors and deacons and pastors' wives practicing the abomination and sin of swinging, adultery, and fornication. And if you think that God's going to let you do that in His church that His Son died for, I don't know what kind of theology you think you have. I don't know what's going on with you and your mind. But God has sent warning after warning to the church. And this plague, this pandemic, is His judgment against the church and against America. You can argue with me about that all you want to. But I don't see how anybody with any spiritual sense can come to another conclusion. Jesus Christ said, because I love you, I rebuke you and chasten you. Dr. Matthew Henry said, the ruin begins with plagues and sicknesses. That's how God begins to punish His people. But let me remind you, God's got some other things that are far worse than these things. And I have said it at least over 100 times since this plague set in, that believe it or not, as horrendous as this plague is, and as many people in the church and outside of the church that have died, this is a light punishment. I know that may shock some of you, and that may shock some of you because we're not even fit to take much in America particularly, and and in the American church. Because in America, the American church believes taking a cruise and doing some Christian work on the cruise is real Christian work, whereas in the early church they were being stoned for their faith and killed. We think we're doing something by going on a cruise and listening to some music and somebody read. The ruin begins with plagues and sicknesses to try if they will be reclaimed by less judgments. Less judgments. But if not, it ends in a total overthrow. And this is where I believe things are going for America. For the church in America. You say, well, preacher, that doesn't really line up with the prophecies and so forth. First of all, I don't see America in the prophecies. And I think many of us think that we are in America, we're the center of attention, and we're not. I believe that God can overthrow the great whore America, who has betrayed her Judeo-Christian faith and has betrayed the fundamental truths of the Word of God, and have instead of promoting and exporting the gospel as we did some 200 years ago, and even up until not too long ago, we're now promoting and exporting and threatening countries that if they do not treat homosexuals a certain way, we will pull our funding. Threatening them by saying we will take money that they need to help their people away from them. That's where we are in the great whore, America. And if you don't think that God will overthrow America, you probably do not have any spiritual discernment. America, because the church is not stable in America, America is not stable and is ripe for further judgment if the church does not get into a position for wholesale repentance, where everybody in the true church, everybody in the church repents. That's the only way America could possibly be saved, and I do not sense that happening. I hope that it will, but I don't sense that happening. As I've been saying now, March the 10th will be a year. Everything I've ever said regarding this matter for 10 years out before the plague hit, I warned in writing and in preaching. It is all on audio, video, and on the BCNN1.com site. I predicted that this would happen. And then as soon as it happened, I was getting ready to go on vacation, and God said, no, you need to stay, and I'm going to change your assignment. I want you to help people get through this, because many people are not ready for this at all. And so on March the 10th, is right there, if you want to listen to it, You can go, the easiest place to go is all over the place, but the easiest place to go is bcn1.com or gospellighthouseofprayer.com. And you will see in the title how that God changed my message because of this plague. And I have stated and maintained from that date that things were going to get worse while the president and Happy Talk pastors and Happy Talk people and newscasters and everybody else were saying, oh, it's going to just go away. And I knew it wasn't. And I kept saying that it wasn't. Nobody believed me. And I kept saying it was going to get worse and worse and worse, and that's exactly what happened. As that if we don't repent, it will end in complete overthrow, as it was with Sodom and Gomorrah, as that valley which had been like the garden of the Lord for fruitfulness was turned into a lake of salt and sulfur. So should the land of Canaan be made desolate and barren, as it has been ever since the last destruction of it by the Romans. The lake of Sodom bordered closely upon the land of Israel, that by it they might be warned against the iniquity of Sodom and Gomorrah. But not taking the warning, they were made as like to Sodom and Gomorrah, in ruin as they had been in sin. And there's no country in the world today more like Sodom and Gomorrah than America. And it is a bitter and wicked slap in God's holy face by the people who have been the most blessed, the most prosperous in the history of the world outside of Israel. It's a betrayal of God. What we have done, it is a betrayal of Jesus Christ, and I'm talking about the church. All of the pastors who acquiesced, all of the pastors who have been bought out by politicians, all of the pastors and preachers who have been told to keep silent and we won't bother you, who said it's okay for a man to marry a man in their church, it's okay for a woman married to a woman with adopted children to join the church, they will stand before God and give an answer to God for this betrayal. This is why you hear me pray a whole lot regarding the Judas spirit in the church. There's a spirit of betrayal, there's a spirit of Judas, there's a spirit of sabotage against God and against Jesus in the church. In America. And you can laugh about it, you can try to smirk it off, but it's a very serious offense against God, and that's why we're in this situation today. And as smart as you people think you are, you can't get out of it. I know in my lifetime, I've never heard of 3, 4, 5 vaccines for one disease, and the disease is still here killing people every day by the thousands. And there's such a damnable spirit of betrayal in America today that we have political leaders who betray their own people. See, when you start betraying God, then you start betraying one another. And it's a damnable situation. So, my beloved, by the grace of God, I'm going to try to, after preaching the gospel and preaching the word for over 5 years, multiple times a day, with a few breaks in between, I'm going to try this year, still, I'm going to try to take a little break. But I want to say before I take my little break that, my dear friends, things are going to get worse. God gave the church a chance, and our church leaders have failed. The church has failed. God still has his remnant, and God still has his 7,000. But the church in general has failed God in so many ways. I don't have time to deal with it, as I've already dealt with it in writing and preaching over the past 5 years plus. The prophet, the modern day prophet Leonard Ravenhill, who also warned us very strongly, and who I have quoted in these briefings for each and every one, said, "Is the world crucified to you, or does the world fascinate you?" So let's go to the briefing news. According to the Baptist Press, former Southern Baptist of Texas Convention President Jimmy Pritchett died of the coronavirus plague. According to Charisma News, Assemblies of God pastors Bill and Esther Elinsky died from the coronavirus plague recently. According to the state, South Carolina pastor, chaplain, and Army veteran Terry Joel Barrett died from the coronavirus plague at 69. According to WMAZ 13 television news in Georgia, Georgia pastor Bryant Wardell Raines, who was the new president of a certain section of the National Baptist Convention in Georgia, died of the coronavirus plague at 44 years of age. This is nothing to play with, people. And this is why I have warned you. You need to go to church, but you don't need to go to the church building. And those of you who are living in Texas and in Mississippi, this sudden opening up of the state is a political game. Do not fall for it. Many people are going to die because of this political foolishness. And this is not the time to do that. Hopefully there will be a time in the future. I don't know when, but this is not the time to do that. Many people are going to die because of it. According to Nine News, television Nine News, 20 positive cases of the coronavirus were reported at Life Spring Covenant Church in Loveland, Colorado. And this is why I have warned you since last March that you don't need to be going to the church building. I don't care who tells you to go out there. If the Lord does not tell you, don't go. If you don't have peace in your spirit to go, don't go. I don't care who the pastor is. Because that's precisely the situation that people are dying in. And mind you, this punishment, this plague is against the church. I've been saying it since last March. It is against the sin and evil and foolishness of the church. We're the ones who have brought this on. And so not being able to worship God at his temple, at his house, so to speak, is a punishment. You're not being disobedient by staying home. God has taken away the privilege of worshiping him because you were doing nothing but playing instead of praying in the first place. Pastors, pastors' wives, church leaders, so-called. And God knows what you've been doing, and you know what you've been doing. So God shut it down. Only God could do this, people. When the AIDS plague came, it struck the homosexual community, mostly men. And it bypassed the church. The church was not impacted by it, except if there were some hypocrites in the church who were on the down low, who were homosexuals. They died. But the rest of the community, the rest of America was protected, and the world as well. Unless you got a blood transfusion or something like that from a homosexual, which they stopped that to this day, to this very day. Now, under this new administration, you're going to find that they're going to start taking blood from homosexuals, and more people are going to die of AIDS. Because there's no cure for AIDS. And right now, there's no real cure for the coronavirus plague. A vaccine is not a cure. You may have to take it 6 months from now. You may have to take it every year for the rest of your life. That's not a cure. And I'm not going to be the one to tell you to take it. You better pray very hard about that. Before you do that. According to the Daily Mail, Dr. Fauci has told Texas and Mississippi residents to abide by federal measures as their Republican governors scrap coronavirus restrictions and Biden calls move to reopen like this Neanderthal thinking. I don't know where he got that phrase from, but it's an insult for sure. According to Yahoo News, 1 year since the plague pandemic hit New York, a new strain has emerged in Upper Manhattan. This thing is continuing to mutate and change, and like it has a mind of its own. But remember now, God is in control of everything. According to the Straits Times News, Moderna's coronavirus vaccine can cause painful skin reactions up to 11 days after vaccination, and there's something also going on with the lymph nodes swelling and so forth. But the doctors say don't worry about it. According to Medical Express News, the number of new coronavirus cases has risen in Europe after 6 weeks of decline. And that is happening all over the world. It goes up, people practice some good measures, it goes down, and then they open up again, and it goes right back up. And see, the plague has not gone anywhere. This is why they're telling you, you can take the vaccine, but you still need to wear a mask. And there's no end date to that. You still need to practice social distancing. You still need to wash your hands. So you still need to do the same thing, even though you have taken the vaccine. And some still do not know whether or not you can still spread it. And on we go. According to the AP, a surge in coronavirus has forces Sao Paulo to shut down, has forced Sao Paulo to shut down. According to the AP, or rather according to Reuters, Rio de Janeiro has announced a curfew as Brazil battles a brutal coronavirus wave. According to the Daily Mail, almost half of coronavirus patients experience painful, swollen salivary glands after infection. According to the Daily Mail, 16 cases of another coronavirus variant has been found in the UK. And on, we could go with alarming news about this plague. You ask, preacher, when do you think we're going to get back to normal? My answer to you is never. America will never get back to normal as we knew it before. There may be a new normal, and human beings have a way of adjusting to new normals. But it's going to be a rough road going forward if the church does not repent and we don't change our ways in a hurry and get the government to repent. Because see, that's what God is very angry about. The church, our so-called great Christian leaders, our so-called great evangelical leaders, many of them have intentionally allowed this to happen in our country, where the president has the leeway to sign things into law, such as a grown man, a man 6 foot tall, running against a 5 foot one girl in track, because he has the notion to change his sex. God forbid. My dear friends, you think God is going to let that happen? We have people who are in the government, in key positions, who are sodomites. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't get mad at me for saying that. I'm trying to help you. I'm warning you. I'm going to be fine by the grace of God. They've been trying to kill me for the past 12 years, so I'll be fine. God has seen fit to protect me. I'm trying to help you, so don't get mad at me. But this is what I warned you of. And now, homosexuals and transvestites, sodomites, lesbians have the same special rights that civil rights that Martin Luther King Jr. fought for black people in this country. And we can't do anything about our blackness, but they can do something about their behavior. And their behavior is scientifically destructive. It will, if they conquer the world like they want to, the whole world will be destroyed because they can't have babies. And all of a sudden, we got Christian adoption agencies now not going by any biblical principles. No convictions. Money is driving their decisions. So now all of a sudden they have refused to put foster children. My God, help us. My God, can you imagine being a child that does not even have parents and kicked around from house to house to end up in a house where there are two men, and one man's supposed to be a husband, the other the wife. God forbid. Poor children, orphan children who don't have parents, now can be adopted by a homosexual couple or a lesbian couple through a Christian organization. A once Christian dating service now is finding homosexual mates for homosexuals and lesbian mates for lesbians. If the world is going to do that, let not the church do that. Foolishness. It's better for you to close down Christian adoption agency, foster care agency. It's better for you to close down or beg, gather up all the children before you compromise like that and beg Christian families to take the children. And now you're going to destroy a whole generation of children with this damnable foolishness from hell. And if you think God is going to let you do that, you have another thing coming. See, let me just explain this to you, and then we're going to come to a close. This is what you don't understand. All of these Bible scholars out here, they understand it. They know. These pastors who are letting this happen, they know. The world does not understand this. Presidents and politicians don't understand this. You can do evil over here, and after a while, by and by, you're going to reap the whirlwind over here. This is automatic. And that's what we're reaping. And we're going to reap more. Because God's people did not do what they could have done. Now, it's a shame that I have to share this piece with you. But this is the kind of bad situation we're in America. Almost another million people had to apply for unemployment today, this week, or this month, however they measure that. It's not going away. So listen to what I have to share with you. I have to share with you information about food banks in the once greatest country in America. If you need food tonight, contact these people. Don't be ashamed. Feeding America, feedingamerica.org. The telephone number, I'm going to say it one time and move on, so write down the number. They will help you, whatever area, wherever you live at, they will help you to get some food. 800-771-2303. Another place that you can call is Action Against Hunger, actionagainsthunger.org. The telephone number is 212-967-7800. It's a shame before God that I have to tell you this tonight, but this is how much we have sinned against God. None of you people thought you would ever see the day that over half of Americans have to go to a food line and basically beg for food. Nobody saw this coming. But I warned you of it for at least 10 years. That it was coming. And I warned you in a kindly, loving way. I even told you, do not mess my good life up because of your foolishness. And then Jack Frost came through Texas and Mississippi and across America the other day, and God showed you that even though I don't believe it was a direct punishment, it was a reminder. It was a wake-up call to help you to understand things can get bad real quickly. There are people still in Texas and in Mississippi who don't have water. Pray for the people in Jackson, Mississippi. They're in a bad situation. Bad situation. Terrible. Everybody on the board of the ERCOT thing in Texas, electrical, whatever in Texas, has resigned, and they fired the CEO just yesterday. And things are going to get worse if we don't, in the church, do some wholesale repenting. Not just praying, not just confessing sins, but repenting. Another place to get some food. And these places are all interconnected, so they can get you some food. Food for the Hungry, FH.org. The number is 800-248-6437. Now, for those of you who are in a situation where you are behind on your mortgage, behind on your rent, seriously behind, I started telling you last March that you needed to move. You need to find alternative housing that you can live in, that you can pay for, and try to get something you own, such as sell that big fine house you have and get something much smaller that you can pretty much pay for cash from the equity. It's too late to do that now for so many of you. But the way America works is, no matter what the situation is, they still want their money. 2 Kings chapter 8 verses 1 and 2 says, "Then spake Elisha unto the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, Arise and go thou in thine household and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn. For the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years. And the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God. And she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. This plague is similar to that plague. And I'm the man of God, if you will, telling you that you need to go someplace else and sojourn until this plague is over. Most plagues ended. I don't know what God is going to do with America, but most plagues ended after God made his point. I hope that this one ends, and I hope that it does not get worse, but according to the passage we just read earlier, if we don't repent in the church, it's going to get worse. So if you are still in a position where you can move out of where you are that you cannot afford, here is some alternative housing for you to consider. If you're rich and well-to-do and you were able to work from home and you were able to pay your bills, God bless you. I'm not talking to you. Stay where you are if you want to. But even the rich people left their beautiful homes in New York and other places and went out into the country. I would advise you to do the same, because the next plague is going to be worse, and it's going to come inside your house and get you. It's not something you can avoid like this one. That's the difference now. See, that's why I say this is a light plague. This is a light plague. You can get away from this one if you have good sense and you do what you're supposed to do. And you're not the kind of person that got to be around people all the time. You can get away from this plague and avoid dying by just staying away from people. Go out into the woods, live out in the woods somewhere, and hook up via the internet, satellite, whatever, and stay in contact that way. That's what smart people have done all over the world. You don't have to be lonely when you have Zoom and Facebook and YouTube and all of that, and live feeds and this, that, and the other. You don't have to be lonely. It's not the same, but it's better than nothing. Better than waiting on a letter. So the first alternative is you can buy off-grid housing from Country Homes of America. Country Homes of America is the largest rural listing service in the nation. Buy your house off the grid, out in the country somewhere, and live like we used to live. And you have no connection with the city. You got your own water through your own pump, got satellite electricity, you got the internet, got everything you need. And that will help your family stay safe from the plague and from evil people marching and fighting and robbing and killing and looting and everything else. Because things are going to get worse and worse in America because of the sins of the church, the failures of the church. And I know you don't want to hear it, but we have failed God. Not God's remnant, not God's 7,000, but most of the so-called church has failed God, and you know it. The second alternative is you can buy a mobile home from Champion Home Builders at championhomes.com. For decades, Champion has served as a leader in the manufactured housing industry and one of the largest modular home builders in North America. You say, who, me, living in a mobile home? Man, I was raised in a mobile home. I don't want a mobile home. What if a tornado hits? Well, a tornado hit one Sunday night while everybody was watching the Dallas Cowboys whip up on somebody and tore down the most beautiful buildings, beautiful homes in America, biggest homes in America, tore them flat, slap up. Tore down the Home Depot. Just tore, slap up, tore down high schools. Okay, so you don't need to worry about that. If you got God protecting you, you can live in a stick house and you'll be just fine. Don't worry about that. Go ahead and get yourself a trailer, a motor home, a mobile home, what they used to call trailers, a double wide. See, back in the day, if you got a double wide, you was in high cotton. Yes. Oh yes. If you were able to get a double wide, but that was big time. You were big time back in the country. You were big time. Get yourself a double wide. And Palm Harbor, they had a deal last year I told you about, $29,000 for a 3-bedroom, 2-bath mobile home, a trailer, double wide. It was on sale. Now you need to understand what that means. That means that you can sell your big fine house on Pork Chop Hill that you're using only to impress other people who don't even notice it. Sell that bad boy, and with the equity, which hopefully you'll get $39,000 out of it, you can buy that, put it on a piece of property out in the country somewhere, and be set up and ready to go, and still have about $6,000 to $7,000 left over, where you can go buy your own groceries. You see, that's what I'm talking about. That's how I think. Instead of getting a box you know, from somebody, and you appreciate it, but, you know, oftentimes it's not enough. And there's stuff in there that you can't even eat. And as I have shared with people, people who are giving out food, God bless you. I thank the Lord for the people who are doing that for people. But I would imagine that the people would appreciate a Walmart card where they can go and buy what they want to buy. But anyway, that's just me. Third alternative, you can buy a tiny house from tinyhouselistings.com. Tiny House Listings focuses on exploring and sharing the benefits of living in a smaller, less expensive, more humble home that frees up time and cash. Key phrase, frees up time and cash. Live in a tiny house. Deion Sanders has a tiny house. He has a mansion too, but he has a tiny house. And he acts like he likes that tiny house better. Get yourself a tiny house. You can pay maybe $22,000 for a tiny house cash. And the idea is, through this storm, through this plague, through this painful time, you can live and move and have your being and not worry about a roof over your head or somebody taking a roof from over your head and having some money left over where you can buy your own food. You can live in a tiny house and eat a steak and some potatoes. To me, that's living. That's how my mind works. Anyway, you can find alternative housing also, fourth alternative, at Motorhome Specialists at mhsrv.com. Motorhome Specialists is second to none pricing and selection on motorhomes. Okay? And some of you are at that age where you need to just go ahead on and move in a motorhome. Many, many dear white folks, they sell their house after their children graduate from college. They understand they don't need to be paying those taxes into their old age, especially if they live in Texas, which I call taxes. You may not have to pay taxes on some other stuff, but buddy, you got to pay some property taxes in Texas. Oh yes, you will. Yeah, and so they understand they don't need that. They don't need that big fine house on Pork Chop Hill. And they don't need cutting the grass and all of that. They sell it. And they move into a motorhome or a fifth wheel. Most of them get a fifth wheel if they can afford it, which is huge. It's like a little house on wheels. And you know what some of them do? They park it and they don't move it. They move the little car that they, or the truck that they pulled it with. That's it. And they set that thing in a part of the country they love and they stay right there. And the only thing they do is save money and got money and they go to Kroger's, they go to HEB, or they go to whatever grocery store is available, get their food and come back and cook it. It's a beautiful life. That's the way to retire. So now we're going to deal with homeschooling. As I promised you last March, I would help you with the home family, the home church, home worship, home devotions, home school, and home business. And I have helped you with all of these things. God had prepared me to help you because we did all of those things by the grace of God. We homeschool our children from the time they were born. And they have... Four of the seven have graduated, no, five out of the seven have graduated from college. And we have still three who got some more to go. And And so we homeschooled our children from the time they were born. So we were able to help you with that. And some of you people are still homeschooling your children, or you are at least monitoring your child while the school, public school, is sending you information in Zoom and videos. You're still homeschooling your children. Your children are with you. And do not get too happy about these vaccines, because your children may be with you until the end of the year. So as I warned you last year, you were gonna homeschool your children and be home with your children, and that was the case in most cases. And I told you that I would help you with the home family, that is, how to live together and not drive each other crazy. And I taught you that you need to have order in the home for that to happen. You can't have two heads. Somebody's got to be in charge. And what he says goes. And you got to have discipline of the children. You can't have chaos. I taught you all of that. And some of you took heed and some of you didn't. One thing I do know, and I don't take credit for it, one thing I do know, the divorce rate has gone down instead of up. And that's a good thing over this past year. Because, see, there's nothing like trouble to help you to realize, okay, now wait a minute. It's nothing like trouble to make you reconsider some things. Okay, so I taught you that. I taught you about having a home business, how you need to start your own business and not depend upon a job. And with the internet, you can do that. And then, of course, I taught you, and I still teach you every morning at 10 o'clock about family devotions and the importance of prayer and worship, family worship at home, and how to have church at home. Okay? But I have emphasized since July of last year, homeschooling, because I knew that you were going to go into a situation that you have never gone into before, and that most of you did not want to go into. Campfire curriculums review from the homeschoolmom.com, and make sure you copy that website and visit her website. She will help you get through many things regarding homeschooling. Campfire Curriculums is a Christian extracurricular program done from home for homeschoolers. Or non-homeschoolers, that combines a Charlotte Mason ideology with job shadowing apprenticeship. Emphasis is placed on experiential and hands-on activities with contributions from experts or professionals in each field. The extracurricular study suggests 20 minutes per lesson and encourages fathers to lead when possible. The curriculum also focuses on family growth and skills enhancement. Each unit study covers all age groups and is intended for all in the family to use together, elementary to adult. Six topics to round out your homeschool schedule. Part one. Personal finance. In all of my years of schooling, I never had the opportunity to take personal finance. And it wasn't something that was presented at home. And that is something that most of our families don't get into as we should. So it's very important. Beyond learning to do some basic personal banking, My younger son has done an online personal finance course and learned so much and plans to repeat the course again. That's when you're really getting something, when you repeat it voluntarily. My oldest teen is taking a high school level course that is hands-on and project-based. Be sure to add a personal finance course to your homeschooler's schedule before they graduate. All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you're with us tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him for your soul's salvation from sin and from the power of sin, the pain of sin, and from the punishment of sin in that awful place called hell. First, dear friend, please understand that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. And so have I, and so has the Pope, and so has the Dalai Lama, and so has even Joel Osteen, the pastor of the largest church in America. We all have sinned against God. The Holy Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have done something wrong in our lives, haven't we? For those of you who question that, have you ever told a lie? Have you ever dishonored or disobeyed your parents with a bad attitude, not answering them properly? Have you ever taken God's name in vain? Have you ever lusted in your heart, coveted in your heart after people and things? Have you ever stolen anything? Sure you have, in your life. Because we're all sinners. We're sinners by nature and by choice. And because of our sins, we die. So please understand that because of our sins, we die. Our bodies die. Our souls go to hell forever if we have never truly believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. We don't die because of cancer. We do not die because of a car accident. We do not die because of the coronavirus plague or from a cardiac arrest. We die, dear friend, because of sin. We are sinful by nature and by choice, and the wages of sin is death. And this is a very serious judgment all by itself. This is why we don't get over death, do we? A person was here, we saw him, he sung songs, he acted, he preached, he walked around and shook people's hands, and he ran for office, and then he's dead, gone. And we see him actually buried. And death is a sad thing. Don't let anybody fool you. The body goes to a grave. The soul, the eternal soul, goes to that awful place called hell to be tormented forever and ever, if that person has never truly believed in Jesus Christ in this life. And so, dear friends, please understand that hell is a very real place. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than any prophet, any apostle, any preacher, or any writer in the Bible. He preached more on hell than he did about heaven. One time in describing hell, he said that hell is a place where their worm dieth not, and the maggot dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. In another sermon, he said that hell, he described hell as a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Hell is a very real place, my dear friend. Hell is a serious place. Hell is a sad place. Hell is a bad place, and hell is bad news, but I have good news for you. You do not have to go to hell when you die. You can go to heaven by the grace of God. You need to understand that somebody is going to pay for your sins. Either you're going to pay for them in hell, or you're going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has already paid for your sins. For Jesus Christ said, the most loving, most important, and most wonderful words ever said to mankind. In John 3:16, Jesus Christ said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And I'm just thinking about it. What would the world be like without this verse, without these words? My, my, my. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want you to notice with me the phrase, for God so loved the world. This means that if you are in this world, God loves you, and no matter what you have done. The next phrase, that he gave his only begotten Son, refers to Jesus Christ. He is God's Son who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins and for mine. And he was buried and rose on the third day by the power of God. Our next phrase is that whosoever believeth in him. The word whosoever simply means anybody at any time. Red, yellow, black, or white, we're all precious in God's sight. Then notice the phrase, believeth in him. This simply means to trust in him, to depend upon him, Jesus Christ, to rely on him, Jesus Christ, or to have faith in him, Jesus Christ, for your soul's salvation. Listen to the simple plan of salvation by Jesus Christ himself. And then notice our next phrase, should not perish. This refers to eternal punishment in a place called hell. You will avoid that awful place if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your destination will be changed to where? And lastly, the phrase, but have everlasting life. This means to live forever in heaven with God, with Jesus Christ, with the angels, and with the beloved family of the saints. Dear friend, the Bible also says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So all you have to do, dear friend, is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and call on his name in prayer and ask him to save you, and he will. So as you believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, believing in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Let's pray the sinner's prayer together. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and I admit that I have committed those sins that the preacher talked about earlier. And I understand that I deserve to go to hell, just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by your power. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of all of my sins and help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in Jesus Christ's name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by God's power, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email us and let us know at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you to help you to grow in the faith and become the Christian disciple that God wants you to be. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer. Now, dear friends, as I told you in the earlier service, the standing between the living and the dead service, I plan on being here by the grace of God tomorrow morning by 10 Central Time, 11 Eastern Time, 8 Pacific as usual. But it may be more like 11 o'clock. So bear with me if I'm not here at 10. I might have to take care of something tomorrow morning. If you have a prayer list, if you pray strategically, please put my name on your prayer list. I don't ask you to pray for me because I don't think you're going to pray for me. But if you put my name on the prayer list and you pray over your prayer list, you would have to pray for me. So put me on your prayer list. Put our ministry on your prayer list. Also, make sure you pray for yourself and your family, your ministry and your pastor without ceasing. And if the Lord will so lead you and God has blessed you with riches and you're not struggling because of the plague pandemic financially, we have, as you know, over the past 5.5 years, preaching the gospel nearly every day, multiple times a day. We have rarely said anything about money. I can count the times on one hand. But since the prosperity gospel is dead now, and the false prophets are not being heard from anymore in any real sense, God has given me more liberty to ask you to help us to reach millions with the gospel. We need new equipment, and all we need is $24,000 to reset the ministry, to reach even more people with the gospel. So we thank God for you, and if God will so lead you, you can look on the screen and see what needs to be done. God bless you, dear friends. Until next time.